In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The feeding of the 5,000, or the miracle of five loaves and two fish, as it is often called, is the only miracle that is recorded in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The story unfolds after Jesus had sent the 12 out on a mission. He sent them out with authority over unclean spirits and little else. He told them that they could take a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, and they were to go out in mission with only the authority of Jesus Christ. And they preached a message of repentance, casted out demons, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them. They had all witnessed incredible signs and wonders done in the name of Jesus. And the story resumes at the end of an exhausted preaching and healing mission tour of Jesus, when he seeks for himself and his disciples some rest. Jesus and his disciples took the journey from Nazareth, heading toward Capernaum, teaching, preaching, and healing. It's a journey of about 40 miles. They were weary, and the last thing that they wanted to do was to be concerned about this great crowd that they had tried to avoid twice, and wondering where they would get their evening meal. The stage was set for a dramatic encounter between Jesus and his disciples. The question was simple. Will they trust in themselves, or will they trust in the unlimited power of God? The disciples start the first round of questioning. This is a deserted place. The hour is now late. Send them away so that they can go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for them to eat. I want you to imagine you're on I-95, about 6 miles north of Scottsmoor. Y'all don't even know where that is. Okay. It's in that never-lever land, you know, after you leave civilization in Titusville, before the lights of Daytona and the exits come up. There is a long, deserted place there. The hour's late. You got 5,000 people. Actually, we're told men, it could be more, including women and children. And where would you send them? It was similarly to Tagga. That's where the church of the feeding of the multiplication is. As a church, you may have, if you listen to the news, was burned down June 18th of this year by extremists. Same place. And you know what? Even now, it's desolate. If you had to feed a group of 50 people, you would be hard-pressed to find a place to do it. But then on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee, there were a couple of assorted towns. The largest was Capernaum, population about 1,500 in the time of Jesus. And it's late. Where are you going to go in a town of 1,500 people? There was no Publix. There was no Walmart. There's no any place like that. Where are you going to go? And even if you could find food, who could have afforded it? When queried, they talk about 200 denarii worth of bread. They translate. If you were a common laborer, that would be 8 months' wages. We're going to take that much money and go buy food for all these people? Well, what about the next town? Or the next town? It's not looking good. And then, to make matters worse, Jesus turns the tables. You give them something to eat. Now, they were fresh off their missionary journey. They'd been healing people and casting out demons, and they had seen signs and wonders exhibited in the name of Jesus. You know, why is it that none of them stepped forward? I can only imagine that each of them looking at each other dumbfounded and kind of asking, where would we go? And who could afford that much money? They came up with a very novel idea. Let's let everybody fend for themselves. Let's just dismiss the crowd and, you know, get some rest. We'll start tomorrow. And then Jesus asks, do you have any loaves of bread? Okay, now, before you think about those big long loaves of French bread, okay, I want to be very clear that the word that's used in the text is a little small barley loaf, about the size of one sandwich. And they have a couple of salted fish that typically they would stick inside. If it was just Jesus and the 12, it would have been a very meager meal if that's all they had, much less for a multitude. And it was then that the disciples witnessed the first Eucharistic miracle. Did you listen to the verbs? He looked to heaven, he blessed, he broke the loaves, gave them to his disciples, and set them before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. Think tilapia, not swordfish. He took, blessed, and broke, and gave what they had provided from their scarcity. And in the hands of Jesus, what was sparse became abundant. So much so that they took up 12 baskets full of broken bread and leftover fish at the end of the meal. How often is this story repeated, even by faithful people? Looking at what we lack when we are deficient, we look at our scarcity. We look at what we don't have. We focus on what is lacking, rather than turn to God and expect His provision. This is more than the optimist looks at a glass half full while the pessimist looks at the glass half empty. The story challenges us to ask a very simple question. In times of testing, in times of trial, do we rely on our own resources, on our own thoughts, on the imagination of our hearts, or do we trust in God? Do we trust in His faithfulness? Do we trust in His provision? Think in Scripture about the provision of the manna and quail in Exodus 16, or water from the rock in Exodus 17, or the provision of food and oil for the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17, or the miraculous provision of food in Samaria during the time of Elisha, the prophet, in 2 Kings 7. Did you ever stop to think that when the wise men provided the frankincense and myrrh and gold, that they were providing resources for Mary and Joseph that they would need to raise their infant king? There are many times when we least expect it that God miraculously provides. The real question here is, do we, like the disciples, rely on ourselves and our own resources, or do we rely on the Word and the promises of God? Just a few verses earlier, Jesus had sent the disciples out on mission. He said to them, take a staff, a walking stick, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts, and God had provided for them. All 12 on their missionary journey. He encouraged them to look for hospitality, and when they found it, don't go looking for a better place. Stay where you find that God provides, and just stay there. Let your peace rest there. The disciples had each experienced the Lord's miraculous provision in their own life just days earlier. But when challenged by Jesus, they only saw 5 loaves and 2 fish. I think the reading from Proverbs 3:5 is very appropriate this morning. Do we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding? When the disciples relied on their own understanding, they looked at only their human resources. They looked at only their 5 loaves and their 2 fish instead of looking at the God who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. I can tell you in my own life there have been countless times where God has provided for me and for my family in times that didn't make sense. I remember being in seminary many years ago, and we could hardly wait until Joe got back from Louisiana with gator in his boat, because the whole seminary knew we would eat well till the gator tail ran out. Or when I've lost a job and I've discovered God's miraculous provision. We look at this story of loaves and fish and say, doesn't make sense. Must be a hyperbole. But I can tell you, people who have lived and experienced the provision of God know that it is true. Perhaps that's why it's the only miracle that's recorded in all 4 of the Gospels. So we can't explain it away. That God intends for it to be uncomfortable in our scientific, rational minds. And to ask ourselves simply, do we trust in ourselves or do we trust in God? Amen.